Hello, and welcome to the Sapona Road Church podcast. Today is a great day. It's the day that the Lord has made, and we are excited that you've taken time to join with us as we hear from God's Word. We exist as a church to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hope that today's message encourages and blesses you and helps you to grow and mature in your walk and relationship with Him. The word of the Lord is powerful and life-changing, so let's see our lives transformed as we listen to today's message.
I want to share a quick message with you today, and we're here having a He's Alive party, so the name of this message is He's Alive. And I'm going to read from Luke chapter 24 and read verses 1 through 6. It says, "But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, 'Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead.'" Father, we just thank you. We just bless your name. We thank you that Jesus is alive. We ask your blessing upon this message, God. And just, Lord, let everything we do honor that fact that we serve a risen Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. So He's alive. I kind of wanted to do this service like this, and also this message, or have this type of service, because all over the world today, right now, people in churches are having Easter celebrations and Easter services. And I'm just like you, I've gone to a lot of these types of services. And many times when you go to these services, and nothing bad about it, but even though they're called worship celebrations, a big portion of the service doesn't seem very worshipful. It seems like everything's done in a non-celebratory way, like everybody's sad. Everybody's, you know, and the cross is a horrible thing, don't get me wrong, but everyone seems like it keeps on and on about the bad part, and then at the very end, there's a small little section where they stop and say, but the good news is that He's alive. And even though that's important too, I want to let you know that, yes, our Savior suffered. He was treated horribly, you know, just horrendous things that He went through. It's heartbreaking to even think of what He went through, but every part of it is a reason for us to celebrate. Everything that He did, Jesus fulfilled every prophecy, not just some of them. He fulfilled every prophecy, and every part of His life is part of our victory and a reason for us to celebrate. From His birth to His resurrection, at no time was there any doubt. At no time was He not in control. At no time was there a point where the victory was in question. At no time was He worried. At no time did the enemy have the upper hand. At no time was He not victorious. From beginning to end, He was victorious. It was all part of the victory that we celebrate today. And I kind of want to share with you how powerful every move that Jesus made really was. And go back to His baptism. In Mark chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, it says, "It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Now it says that when Jesus was baptized, that the heavens were opened. And most of the time, and I think I talked about this when I spoke on baptism, a lot of times when we are reading this scripture, what we picture in our mind is we kind of see the clouds parting a little bit, you know, the sun shining down on Jesus as He's coming out of the water wet and kind of glistening on. That's what we see, but that's not what happened. It actually says that the heavens were ripped open. And the word here for opening or parting, the heavens parting, is the same word used to describe the veil in the temple being torn and the rocks splitting open at Jesus' death. In Matthew 27:51, to give you an idea of how that scripture reads, it says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split." So every instance was part of the victory. The veil showed that God was not tied to an old covenant anymore, as the requirements had all been met through Jesus. He fulfilled every prophecy, he met every requirement. The rock showed that the hardest places on this earth were responding to a change in the seasons. They're splitting open to signify that Jesus, the King of Glory, was welcome to rule and to reign right here. They were splitting to show it all that he had taken care of everything. The heaven splitting at his baptism showed that the prince of the power of the air had no authority over Jesus, who would be the prototype of every believer who would walk the earth after his death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. That's us. The enemy has no power over us as we walk in Christ. It's all part of the victory, and he's alive. He's our example. So are we following that example today? Are we living like Christ is alive? Are we allowing Christ to live through us? We should be following his example. See, we're to live our lives like he did. We're to live our lives in response to what the Father's doing, not in response to what the devil is doing. Even though, if we're being honest, most of us have spent a lot of time worrying about what the enemy was up to instead of just trying to get in connection with God and taking part in what he's up to. The devil, I don't know, this is going to be groundbreaking for some of you. The devil's going to be the devil. He's going to be who he is, but who are we going to be? When are we going to be who we really are? We are the redeemed. We are the victors. And it doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the media says. It doesn't matter what the enemy says. All that matters is what God says. Years ago, Stephen walking in the middle service right now, when he was about 9 years old, he was doing a good thing, I guess. I don't think he was up to trouble back there. When he was 9 years old, I think, he was playing in one of those Pee Wee Rec basketball leagues. And it was, I think it was 9 and 10 year old. And we were at a game, and Heather and I were sitting on the front row, and she was making me behave because the week before I had kind of gone overboard with yelling at Stephen about everything he was doing wrong while he was playing the game. So I'm sitting there with her, and so to occupy my time so I don't focus on fussing at Stephen, I'm cutting jokes with the referees. Do you remember this, Heather? We're cutting jokes with the refs in between the games, and our game's about to start. And behind us is one of the other parents. He films every game. His son was all into basketball, and he's filming everything. And so we're there, and Steven's team starts playing, and they're doing terrible. And I'm not allowed to say anything because I used up all my sayings the week before, according to Heather. So I'm just there cutting up with the refs, watching them lose. And they're getting beat pretty bad for about three quarters. And we go into the fourth quarter, and something happened. They just started playing good. The guy who was filming, his son, starts doing really well. Steven finally starts hitting some shots, and they start coming back. And when they start coming back on this team, their fans turned vicious toward the referees. And they're saying all kind of horrible things to the refs. Meanwhile, Heather and I are still buttering them up. You never know when you're going to need a ref's help, so we're buttering them up and cutting jokes with him. And it gets toward the end of the game, and the team fought back really hard, but they still lost. They came up short. So the guy's getting ready to start packing up his camera, and I'm saying, hey, at least they fought back and didn't just roll over and quit. And all of a sudden, the referee blows a whistle. And he's standing at the out-of-bounds line, and he says, hey, we got one more quarter. Now, we've already went four. I'm not the greatest at math, but there's only four in a quarter when there's four quarters. And so he says, hey, we're playing again. The other team's going nuts. The game's over, which it was. The guy's back there, he said, hey, I filmed this whole thing. I got it on film. That was the fourth quarter. I said, well, apparently the game's not over. The guy blows the whistle. They're fussing like crazy. And the people keeping the scoreboard, you know how those people at rec ball keep score. They don't even want to be. They're on their phone the whole time, not paying attention. So we played five quarters of basketball, and Steven's team won. Steven and that little boy picked up where they left off. The other poor little kids were just so frustrated, where their coaches were going nuts. They didn't even realize what was happening. And We ended up having to get on to Stephen and some of the other kids for showboating when they took the lead from them and won. Stephen was going around doing some kind of little airplane move. But we won the game. The game was over, but somehow we still won the game. Many of you are in that same situation today. You hear a message and it's talking about how God can do anything, and you're thinking, yeah, but not in my situation. It's over. There's nothing that can be done. There's nothing that can change what I'm going through. There's nothing. You don't understand how bad I've messed up. You don't understand how long this has been going on. You don't understand how close to death I am. Whatever it is, but it doesn't matter, because the one who's actually in control says it's not over. Doesn't matter what anybody else said in that gym that day. The guy who had the whistle said, we're playing one more. And they had to do it. And that's how it is with God. Can you just imagine what it was even like at the crucifixion? The enemy thought they thought they had actually outsmarted God. They had figured it out. That even with all the things that God had put in place, they actually still thought somehow they had won. But the one in control said, it's not over. And now he's alive. And it's the same way for you and for me. No matter what the enemy tries to do, it's finished. We are victorious. We know how this thing ends up. We don't have to worry about it ever being in. It wasn't in question then, and it's not in question now. Heaven's answer has come. And the revelation and the release of God's redemptive program is now unstoppable. The enemy knows it. But when are we going to act like it? See, and it's all because he's alive. He's alive. It's just that simple. It's a simple message of telling people about Jesus. But the question really is are you allowing him to live through you? I heard a story. I've heard this story from a couple preachers, so I have no clue where it started. But I'm going to tell it my way. So there was this young man in his 20s. And he was pretty healthy, active, did all kind of stuff. And he was in a tragic accident and lost his life. He was an organ donor, so his organs went to all kinds of people and made a lot of people's quality of life better and saved some people's lives. And one gentleman in particular received his heart. And this guy had not made the best decisions with his choices in life, and he got his body in bad shape, but he had turned it around and got on the transplant list, and he was blessed enough to receive this young man's heart. And now he's recovering, and he's doing better, and he's staying healthy and active, and he wants to honor the young man who saved his life and all these other things. And so after time goes by, they put together a meeting with this man and the family of the young man who had donated the heart. And so they all get there, and it's some of his siblings, and it's his parents, and it's even some aunts and uncles. It's a whole crew of them, because everybody really loved this guy. And they're talking, and the man's telling about, hey, look, I've turned my life around. I'm walking this far every day. I'm doing this. I'm eating right, and I'm gonna honor your loved one's life and everything that he did for me. And they're telling him, he said, I want to know everything about him. And they're telling him, oh, my brother was like this and all this other stuff. And they've been there a while. And then they realize that the dad hasn't said a word. He has not made one comment the whole time that they've been there. And so they finally stop and they said, Dad, did you want to say anything? Did you want to talk to this guy? The man says, yes, sir, it would be an honor. Ask me anything, tell me anything, anything I can do to honor your son, I want to do it. And the dad just walks over to him, doesn't say a word, and he pulls out one of these. As he puts it on, I'm not going to put it on. He puts it on, and he walks over, and he just puts it right on the guy's chest, and he says, I just want to hear my son. That's all he says. Doesn't want a small talk, doesn't want anything else. He says, I just want to hear my son's heartbeat. And see, that's what this is really all about. And you can picture it in your mind any way you would like to. I don't know, some people don't like to be as creative as others, but if you could picture God walking over to the rails of heaven, if there's rails in heaven, whatever, and leaning over, if he were to put the stethoscope on this church, would he hear his son? All that other stuff doesn't matter. I mean, it's important. It's important that you're here at church. It's important that you read your Bible. It's important that you do kind deeds and you do good works. But when it comes down to it, if he puts the stethoscope on you, is he going to hear his son inside of you? There's no question Jesus is alive. The question is, are you allowing him to live in you? Are you allowing the living Christ to be Christ of your life and inside of you? Would God hear his son in you? Not anybody, forget about everybody else, but in your life. See, that's the most important thing that each and every one of us could do. If we want to celebrate the risen Savior today, we need to celebrate by allowing him to live through us, to have his way in our lives. It's really what it's all about. Everything else becomes after that. Father, we just thank you that Jesus is alive. God, help us all to live in such a way, Lord, that you see and you hear your Son in us. God, we just want to be faithful. Lord, we want to be alive because of Christ living inside of us. There's no question, there never was a question, that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, we just allow him to be Lord of our lives. And God, we just want to celebrate that today. And we just, again, we're so thankful that Jesus is alive.
We are so happy that you joined us today. If you are interested in learning about or giving to this ministry, you can find more information at saponaroadchurch.com. If you are local to the Fayetteville, North Carolina area, our meeting times are 10:45 a.m. Sunday mornings and 7 o'clock p.m. Wednesdays for our Connect groups. From all of us here at Sapona Road Church, we hope that you have a great day as you walk in the Lord's favor and blessing.